Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome the night. A radio show where we discuss all the latest movies and news from the world of horror. Tonight, it is a solo show. As mentioned last week, Ian is out celebrating his honeymoon in Louisiana. He's having a pretty good time. I mean, the one picture he sent me, he was at the house where they filmed American Horror Story Coven. So he's having a fun time there. He'll be back next week. To tell us all about everything that went on his honeymoon. So we're stuck with me solo tonight, and we're here to finish off the rest of our Monsters Day marathon with a brand new film that actually works well for our series this month, and a little creature feature from I don't know if it was Korea or Seoul or somewhere. We'll be getting into that a little bit later. Sadly, there's like really no news. Honestly, the only news I'm seeing is the cat from the new Pet Sematary passed away. And, oh well, you know, it's a cat. And then that they're possibly getting Tony Todd to come to make an appearance in the new Candyman film, which I figured would be the case. So there's really nothing too grand horror news-wise, so I didn't feel like talking about any of it because there's really nothing to talk about. It's just a cat died and possibility of Tony Todd in the Candyman film, which is, you know, nothing groundbreaking. So with that being said, I guess I'll just go ahead and get into the review portions of the show. With Ian not being here, I don't know how, you know, there won't be much back and forth as there usually is. So it's just going to be the review and then on to the next review. Might be a short show, which is fine. it's been a long day, so I would like to get some sleep. So, nonetheless, let's get into this. Brightburn is the film, the brand new one that came out this past week. And I got to say, this, I got to get into this. They promoted this film a lot, right? I've seen it in the, you know, in trailers in the movie theaters from other films I was going to see. And the thing is, it didn't even come to my theater. I had to go to a different theater. Like, they even had the poster outside. It's one of those, like, the how they usually do it over there, the one theater. Like, they get things and they don't get things. Like, they needed two Aladdins, one normal, one in 3D, but they couldn't get Brightburn, even though they have the poster on the coming soon section beside Godzilla. It's ridiculous. But it's not been the first time, all right? It's not been the first time. It won't be the last. Like I said, they won't get Brightburn. You know, of course, they'll show Avengers 15 times, but they won't get Brightburn. But then they'll get something like Maw this week, which they will be getting Maw, which is ridiculous that they do that, you know, because I would have liked to have seen it. I wouldn't have, you know, I'd rather drove a shorter distance than to see it farther away. But nonetheless, Brightburn, it did fairly well this weekend. It was a $7 million budget, and it made almost 11.5 as of today. It's like 11,400 and something. So it did pretty well. Yeah, 11,406. So it made its budget back, and that's good. I appreciate that because this is one of those films. It's not a new concept. I mean, and of course, it's easy to see. It's Superman if Superman was evil. That's the general idea. Throw a bit of Chronicle in there. It's basically what you get. And what you get here is, honestly, I kind of did not expect it to go this way. It's a slasher movie. It's a super origin story, superhero, supervillain slasher movie. And so it follows, you know, if you've seen the trailer, you kind of know, you know, what they do, you know, something falls from the sky, there's a baby in it, family raises the baby into a young kid, and the young kid, I think he's around 13, 12 or 13, and he starts hearing these voices, and something drawing him to the barn, and he's speaking another language, and he's trying to figure it out. Finally he does, and it just goes on from there, where he, you know, starts to develop his powers and things that, you know, if it, you know, like putting his hand in a lawnmower blade and it doesn't affect him, you know, you see it in the trailer, the chewing of the fork doesn't affect him. So there's a lot of things there where it's like, okay, there's something here. And that's the one kind of problem I had with the movie, is that he just automatically turned evil. But I'll get into that a little bit more. So, it starts out, his name's Brandon, Brandon Breyer, and his mother is Tori, and his dad is Kyle. And Tori, you know, Elizabeth Smart plays Tori, and she's, you know, the overprotective, you know, like, honestly, this is like a reverse Cynthia, in a sense, where it's this family, you know, the mother, you know, this couple trying to get pregnant, doesn't work out, and then something miraculously happens, and then they're raising a child, in a sense, you know, in a weird sense of the way. It's like a reverse Cynthia, even though this one's a little bit better. And so, you know, they do the thing where they get the, you know, they raise the kid, they have, like, the footage of him growing up, and he starts getting picked on in school, and he has, like, you know, he likes this one girl who, like, kind of likes him, but then all of a sudden he starts to become a creeper on her, and then she doesn't like him, and he gets pissed off, and so he just gets angry. It's a kid, you know, he's like an average teen, you know, like 12 teen, you know, tweener, whatever, where if you don't get something, you know, it doesn't go your way, you're just adamant about it, and you want it no matter what. You're just going to get pissed off, and you're going to show your, you know, you're blow your cool, in a sense, and just, like, tantrum. And that's kind of what he does throughout the film, is if he doesn't, if nothing goes his way, he just kills you, basically, and he just stalks you. Like I said, like Tori, she's the protective mother. She thinks, oh, my baby boy doesn't do anything wrong. He's not this, he's this, he's that. And then, of course, the dad is like, no, listen, our kid came from space. He fell from the sky. We raised him. We don't know what he is. There's something wrong with him, and we need to figure this out. And, so you have the bickering thing there back and forth where the dad knows something's fucking up, fucking wrong with the kid, but the mother doesn't want to deal with it. So, and then, of course, he has like, he does something to the, a few things happen plot point wise, and he goes after other people. And there's some continuity issues with the film. But it has some, the idea is there. And I think, I don't know if this was like edited or not, because there's like a lot of stuff in this film where it just like it skips over and glosses over a lot of stuff. Like he gets picked on by these bullies, and like they do one or two things, and then like you would think you would want to get revenge on them for everything he did, but he doesn't. So there's like I assume there's like parts of the film where like it could have been like maybe like a 2-hour movie, and they had to cut it down to like an hour and a half. Or maybe hour 45, I don't know exactly how long the original cut is, but I could definitely see an extended version of the film. Hopefully there's an extended version, because there's, again, a lot of things that just like they gloss over, and like he's going after all the people like he's doing it wrong. Like there's parts in the film like, oh, we're gonna go talk to the sheriff, we're gonna sheriff this, sheriff that, and like if you have a problem with the sheriff, just go after the sheriff. It's a small town. I mean, I'm sure you can figure out where the sheriff lives. If you're able to figure out where the girl lives that you have a, sort of an attraction to, sort of the Lois Lane, if you will, evil Lois Lane, his version of Lois Lane, in a sense, it's a lose-lose relationship there if that ever came about. But if you're able to figure out and find where she is, you're probably able to find the sheriff and take care of him. But with that being said, you probably wouldn't have the scene in the death scene, minor spoiler, of the sheriff. You wouldn't have that, exuberant looking scene that you kind of see in the trailer, but you don't see the aftermath of it. Like when the sheriff comes up on the porch and he flies into him. Yeah, you don't see the aftermath, and it's a pretty good aftermath. And it is very gory. That is one thing as well. It is pretty gory. And it has some, like, again, some gruesome moments. There's the truck scene where it's his uncle. And like he's there and he's flying, and he just picks up the trucks and the truck and drops it. And that's the aftermath of that scene. It's pretty good. And then there's, I think, you don't know if you see that in the trailer or not, but the eye, where the glass in the restaurant, the eye scene, and she pulls out the glass of her in the eye. That's a good scene. That's very up close. There's a lot of up close shots too. And again, I don't get the thing. Like I'm this one again with John Wick 3, and like you can see the knife go into the dude's eye, and then this one, like, they're pulling glass out of the eye, and like some of these films out of the MPAA, I don't understand like how this. I guess it has to be self-inflicted. They're hesitant about it. And again, I can go on a whole other rant, but like you can literally stab somebody in the eye or pull something out of your eye, and you can get an R. But self-inflicting, you have to cut that out to get a PG-13. Like, just leave it in there, give it an R. Who the fuck cares? It didn't make that much money anyway, so fuck it. Like, people are clamoring for fucking Truth or Dare. Like, oh, that should be PG-13. Fuck no. There's not that much in there. And same thing with Sindler, man. They had to edit that shit out. But nonetheless, I'm going off on a tangent. So anyway, it's just, again, and there's also a scene, there's also, like, a thing later on, like, he gets, like, interested in, like, the human anatomy and body parts. And, like, they find stuff underneath his bed of, like, the insides of people. And like, there's a plot point later on that you kind of see, like, well, where did that come from? It's kind of like, I want to see that kind of explained more. Like, what's the reasoning behind that? So I assume that, you know, assume that's, you know, another reason to like cut down a little bit. So I do expect like at least like maybe a 2-hour version of the film, which might be a little bit better than what we got. But nonetheless, it's still a decent movie. I like the idea. I like the concept, you know, evil Superman. I like how they went for the gore. You know, there's some good gruesome stuff there. And again, it plays out like a slasher movie, which, again, I didn't exactly know the tone or the, like, I knew what to expect, you know, but I didn't exactly know the tone of the film. And it's a pretty dark tone and dire tone, which I liked. They just like, yeah, fuck it, we're going there. And they do. Because it's pretty down once the ending starts to come around. Because, this, you know, this kid's indestructible. And there's nothing you can do about it because he's fucking indestructible. But yeah, like the look of his outfit, you know, his cape and his mask, it looks pretty cool. Like I said, there's just like a lot of stuff that's like out of the film that should have been in the film that would have made the film more coherent. I mean, it still goes at an even pace and it's never really boring. It does keep your attention. But it felt like it could have been, you know, again, paced, you know, like fleshed out a little bit more. And I assume it is. And I'm hoping it's still fleshed out a little bit more with an extended cut whenever it comes out on Blu-ray or DVD or whatever. Because there needs to be one. I mean, they didn't even include, you know, like Slender Man, they didn't include all the stuff that they cut out of it. So you got a fucking piss poor version of that if you ever watch Slender Man now. Like, you have to watch the freaking Slender Man trailer to see all the horror stuff instead of the actual movie. It's ridiculous there. But nonetheless, I still had fun with it. It wasn't really anything grand, but it's still an enjoyable, you know, quick watch. Like I said, it has some good gruesome stuff to it. Just like some minor things here and there where like he's going after all the wrong people. It really just kind of threw me off. Like, why are you going after these people? You should go after that person. And then like, again, some of the things like the organs, like just like the bullies disappearing, again, the girl that he's sort of has a thing for, that kind of doesn't go anywhere after a while. And then he just starts going after his own family for no fucking reason. And it's just like, there's really like no build up to it. Like, he could have been like, because he's like, later on in the film, like he's going between like, oh, I want to be good. You know, I'm trying to be good, but there's no like no dilemma. You know, there's no good or bad. It's just like straight bad. Like, oh, I'm trying to be good. And, you know, that doesn't really help. So there's really no moral conscience to it. No, like, you know, hardship trying to figure out what he's, you know, between good or bad. Like, he has like this voice in his head telling him stuff or like telling him to take the world. And, like, there's really nothing to it. You know, he's just like, he goes to the bar and he finds whatever it is, you know, what the thing is. And that's it. You know, it's just like straight destruction after that. There's like no remorse for anything. There's no talking it out. There's no nothing. It's just like, oh, I'm done. Like, F you guys, I'm done. So there's really, you know, there's like no moral compass in a sense. It's just straight to the point of I'm going to be an asshole now all of a sudden. And that's kind of the one bad part I had with the film where it's like, it's just, turn the light switch on, boom, he's bad. And there's really no, you know, it's still a decent, like I said, it's still a decent watch, but there's just, again, a few things that could have been tweaked, and maybe they are, but maybe it's just, again, on the cutting room floor. But there's just, like, again, a few problems here and there. Again, the story is fine. I liked the gore. Again, it's really, you know, it's kind of unexpected gore as well, because there's, again, the truck scene was just like unexpected. I was like, oh, that's cool. and then, you know, the aftermath of a few scenes here and there. But it's, again, it's not overly gory, but it's there when it's needed. And again, decent pace, probably, again, just a few minor issues here and there with, like, stuff that might have been cut out, because it does feel edited pretty heavily, but it's still, like, the central story is still there. But, yeah, it's still worth a watch. I mean, if you like to see, like, a reverse Superman, in a sense, and from what I've gathered, and a few Easter eggs here and there, it is connected to another film, which could be the hero portion, and it's like a shared universe of another film of James Gunn, who directed another film. But I'm not going to, you know, kind of a spoiler. But there's a film that James Gunn directed that is a different kind of film, you know, if this is, you know, the yang, that one's the, you know, yin to the yang. So it makes, you know, seeing these two films go at it would be pretty interesting, because it's definitely going to be something else if they actually do go through with the shared universe on this. And if not, it's fine. It's a fine one hit, you know, piece. Just, I wanted that extended cut of the film, because it would be way better of a film, and probably, again, more cohesive and concise, and you know, ties up all the loose ends, in a sense. It's just one, you know, good piece of, you know, what the film was trying to do, and it still did it. And again, it just, I need those loose ends tied up, because it's just like there's a lot of stuff there that needed to be, you know, it's there for probably a talking point with, you know, it on the cutting room floor, but it definitely needed to be in the film, and hopefully it is in the film whenever it gets released to video. But yeah, I'm going around in circles on this one. I do suggest checking out Brightburn. So yeah, it's not too bad. I mean, it's a decent little watch. It's a good time waster. And again, it's a good break away from the norm. If you don't want to watch, you know, if you're tired of, like, superhero movies like Avengers and all the Marvel DC stuff, you know, it's a good break from the norm seeing a superhero slasher movie. And, you know, it still hits the same beats here and there. But again, it's like a little kid, you know, again, he's a kid, and he's just fucking angry. You know, don't mess with him. But yeah, it's not too bad. Could have been a little better, but I'm assuming, hopefully, there's an extended edition. And yeah, again, going around in circles, I do suggest it. So that's going to do it for Brightburn. Let's see here. Let's see, as mentioned, next week is going to be Maw. Hopefully I can get around to go seeing that, because Godzilla is also coming out this week. So it's going to be sort of difficult to go see both of those. But I'm going to do my best. And but yeah, so that's Brightburn. Going on to the next review is a little creature feature. Again, I'm not exactly sure. I think it's Korea. Could be wrong. Monstrum is our next film for review. And Monstrum has a very similar plot point to another film, which I'll get into. Monstrum starts out, it's in, you know, this feudal era, Joseon, I think it's Joseon. That's where it's taking place at. And this king, or the, you know, the high ruler of Joseon is killing all these people at this mountain base where they have the plague, right? And so all of them, you know, they get shot down, arrows, and then there's this one little girl who still survives. And one of the guards or the warriors of the king decides to take the girl and raise it as his own, and he basically leaves the kingdom as, you know, everything goes on. So he's off in the mountains and everything, and so now there's word of this creature terrorizing people, tearing them apart limb from limb, and they call it Monstrum. And so the king, what's his name? Jung Jong, King Jung Jong, tells that he wants to pick the person to help go after. So he picks his, you know, his secondhand man, which is Yoon. And so we have Yoon and the girl, her name's Myung. And so he's, you know, and then of course they live with his uncle Sung as well. So it's like this, you know, three piece family, you know, Myung, Jun, Yoon, and Sung. And they bring, you know, him, like, go after this monster, try to track it down, try to do something with it. And at the same time, the prime minister is kind of wanting to overrule Jung Jong and take over, as, you know, as the king. So there's a little back and forth between what's Monstrum's doing and what's the prime minister's doing. And that's technically it, where, you know, you have young Yoon and Sung, you know, trying to, you know, figure out, you know, like, get these battle tactics and plans, going out, search parties, trying to find Monstrum, you know, any scents and everything like that, or like goo, or, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, there's still elements of the plague as well that's still going on in the kingdom, and they're trying to, you know, like, whoever has the plague, just kill them, set them on fire, blah blah blah. And so they do that, and then it's just a battle between, you know, good, you know, like, again, good, you know, good king, bad king, and then the addition of Monstrum, because Monstrum was there to provoke fear by the prime minister, and of course he didn't think it exists, but it does. So then you have Monstrum coming in there and doing his thing and attacking people. And I guess I'll get into Monstrum. And Monstrum itself, for what it is, again, it's a big CGI thing. It's better than you would expect it to look. There are some sequences where it does kind of look a little bit bad. Especially like when it's close up and like it's breathing, they do that weird filter where it's just like magnify, and they're like stretch it out a little bit. It's not too bad. It doesn't take you out of the film. But Monstrum looks like those Chinese dragon, not really, you know, not the dragon, but like the Chinese like ball dragon thing creatures that you see like outside like buffets in a sense, or like they have them like in the display area, just like the creature with the hand on the ball. That's what Monstrum looks like a little bit. It's pretty cool. I do dig it. But nonetheless, the movie itself, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. The only thing is like, if has this film is exactly like another film, and it's Rampant. And I believe this film is like the exact same finale as Rampant. And that's the one with, you know, zombies in feudal Japan. And so, like I said, both of them play out exactly the same. So basically, you know, you have, it's like any other like Japanese, Chinese, Korean, you know, feudal war eras or something going on. You know, you have the overthrow of the kingdom. That's, you know, the same ploy, you know, as they did with Rampant. And it's just like the same thing. Like, you have the one guy come in to try to get rid of the zombies, and like he has his sidekick who's like cracking jokes, and then that's basically the same thing with Yoon. Like, he comes in, and then you have his sidekick, which is his brother, Sung, and he's like going around cracking jokes and doing stuff like that. So it's, then they have, you know, that the one like the prime minister's trying to overthrow the main king, and so you have him doing all this dirty work to undermine the king, to pose fear, like he's not doing his job. So it's exactly the same movie, but you replace zombies with a giant creature. And it's the exact same thing. I believe it's the same place they filmed that, because it looks exactly so familiar. The very ending, or where the king lives in Monstrum and Rampant. It's the exact same place. I'm positive. And again, both films sort of have the same ending, where, like, it again, just it includes fire. And if you've seen Rampant, it has the exact same ending where they set fire to the building, the king's palace. But nonetheless, it's a fun little movie. I mean, it's a little bit long. It's like hour and 40, hour and 45. And again, it follows the same beats as not Train to Busan, but Rampant and all those other feudal war movies. Just again, you place add an extra creature to it, or zombies to it. I wouldn't oppose if we get one with vampires or something like that, or I mean, it's closely, or a werewolf or something. Like, it's just like the same thing over and over. Like, you have the High King doing his thing, and he doesn't know about the Prime Minister or his followers, his right-hand guys trying to undermine him and do all this stuff. And, the main guy trying to take care of the problem while also figuring out the issue with the right-hand guys and prime ministers and all that. And, they're trying to kill the king and the citizens of the, town, their city or village. So it's pretty by the numbers. But it is, again, just a decent little creature feature, with Monstrum. It takes a while for Monstrum to come into play. Like, it takes like an hour, maybe 50 minutes when you actually do see him. But again, it's there to build up story, sort of like, again, Rampant, where it takes, you get zombies pretty early on in Rampant, but like very mass exodus of zombies you get, it's very later on in the film. But it has, again, Monstrum has some good gore, some good body damage to it, with limbs and body parts being strewn about and teared apart. So I will give it props for that. So they did manage it. And also, it's like a little bit like The Host in a sense, in that sort of vein. Actually, not The Host. Charles. Charles is the one I was thinking of. So it's like a mix between like Rampant and Jaws. Charles. I believe that's a. I don't know if that was Korean. I think that's the Korean hog movie. Boar. Yeah, it's a Korean boar movie. It's not too bad. But again, the Monstrum looks better than the creature in Charles did. So there's really not much really else to say about Monstrum. I mean, it is pretty fun. Like the reasoning behind Monstrum existing is pretty cool, and like the where it ends up at, it's pretty cool. What they have to do is not by the numbers. And yeah, just a big showdown at the King's Palace. Some good body damage, people getting ripped apart, arterial blood spray, just hacked here and there. So it's not too bad. I mean, some shoddy CGI at a few parts, basically when it's really up close on Monstrum. But yeah, nothing too bad, and it's fun watching. Again, it's a good double feature if you want to watch something exactly the same. Like, oh, let's watch something with zombies. You can watch Rampant, and then you can watch Monstrum right along with it. It's the exact same, if you wanted to do a weird movie marathon like that, it's the exact same film. But yeah, nothing too over the top. But it's still, it's a decent watch. I didn't mind it. Again, it's one of the better ones of the month so far. So yeah, it's right up there at the top so far, of the other everything else. Definitely it's over Cynthia, I know that much. So yeah, I do suggest Monstrum as well. So there's really, again, it's by the numbers kind of stuff. Nothing really too crazy, but again, it's a cool looking creature. I kind of expected something else towards the end, but it didn't go that way, so that's a nice surprise. But I guess you couldn't really do that because of the storyline, whatever, and just the story rushing back into my head, I'm thinking of other things. But yeah, nothing too outlandish, nothing too crazy, but it's still a fun little movie, and it has some good, damage to it, decent body count. And yeah, it's just, again, if you want a creature feature, giant monster terrorizing, you can just include this one. You can have the host, you can have Chaws, you can have Monstrum. It's a good foreign, market of, like creature features, back to back. But yeah, I mean, I don't really have that much else to say on Monstrum, because it's, again, if you've seen a bunch of, martial arts movies and war, feudal era type movies like that, it's the exact same thing, but with just a monster. So it's nothing really out there. Again, I'm a martial arts fan as well. I watch a lot of martial arts movies. So just, again, it's like when, Rampage came out and everyone was like saying, it's right up there with Train to Busan because it's the same producers or same people behind Train to Busan that did Rampage. But Rampage was just, it was fine. I didn't really find it that grand because I've seen that movie done a lot before because I watched a lot of, martial arts movies from the, 60s and 70s and 80s and all that stuff. So it's just like, that's the same stuff that I've seen before, like Come Drink With Me and One-Armed Swordsman and a bunch of other stuff, a lot of Shaw Brothers type stuff. So it's like the same stuff, but just added zombies to it. And this one exactly, is exactly Rampant, but with a giant creature. And it's nothing too, nothing too grand, but it's still a fun watch. And so if you're interested in that, I mean, you kind of get an idea of what you're getting into. That's Monstrum. And that is probably going to do it because, as I said, it's a solo show tonight, and there's no reason to go back and forth on everything because there's nothing else to really go back and forth on. So that is going to do it. As mentioned, Ian will be coming back from his honeymoon next week, so we'll be starting off the show with probably a review of Maw and then probably just getting into a bunch of stuff, a bunch of stories and what he did on his week off. So I'm going to be interested to see what he did and all the tours he went on and checking out Marie Laveau's grave and a bunch of other stuff. So it's going to be a lot of interesting stories. Maybe he saw some ghosts or something. Who knows? It's going to be one of those, shoot the shit episodes with Ian after a review of them all. So I'm looking forward to that next week. And then as for the rest of June, it's just going to be normal. There's no specials or anything. We're working on, just normal shows and just reviews. And, The Dead Don't Die comes out in a couple weeks. I think it's June 14th or something. So we have that to look forward to. And just gearing up for July with our Independence Marathon. So we're going to do what we did last year and talk about it, indie filmmaking, indie horror as we usually do, and do a bunch of films and bring in the year, a new year with new horror, new indie horror. So that's going to be fun. Looking forward to July. So that's going to do it for tonight's show. I thank everyone for listening in, and that's going to do it. So thank you, and we'll see you next time. Your skin.
feet in the dirt. I'm stubborn enough, a cool, a thing to see. I'm moving up, a fast, a mobile me. I'm heading up, a proud head in the clouds. Damn, I'm dandy.
Your skin.